Hey everyone, it's Rachel.
And Megan.
She's back!
I'm back!
Yeah.
And Grace filled in and acted like I never let her talk when the complete opposite is true. I have begged Grace to podcast with me, but she sits in her ivory tower and chooses not to. I just wanted to set the record straight.
I mean, maybe like once she asked her a question. She asked her for water all the time, though.
Two ice cubes.
But, yes, Megan is back, and we have so much to talk about. Two housewives this week with huge fights.
Yes.
We have Cyrus to Cyrus premiered. Invite only continues on that crazy bus.
Yes.
And MDL New York is back as well.
Whoop, whoop.
We were fortunate enough to sit down with Mr. Frederick Eklund and Mr. Ryan Serhant this week. Stay tuned for that interview at the end of the episode.
But can we talk about the show I'm super excited about?
Yes.
Cyrus versus Cyrus.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, I was so excited to learn the Cyrus family was coming to Bravo. I've been obsessed with them probably since MTV, they aired this documentary about Miley making the Bangers album. And her mom, Tish, was a big part of it because she used to manage Miley's career. And so you kind of saw them working together and changing, like, the transformation of Miley and her new image. So I was stoked to find out that Tish and Miley's sister Brandy were going to be bringing a show. And I really like it.
I love the show.
I know I shouldn't sound shocked, but sometimes new shows sometimes takes me a while to come around on. But within the first episode, I was really into the show. I think it has to do with the fact that it's only 30 minutes, which we don't see a lot of that on our network anymore. We do a lot more, like, hour-long that gets into the nitty-gritty of people's personal lives. But I kind of liked that this is short and sweet and just about interior design. But you still get to see Brandy and Tish, like, bounce off each other.
And make wrecking ball jokes.
Yes.
Well, I just want to mention, too, Miley Cyrus has a craft room in her house just to, like, do crafts. And it makes me think that Tish designed this craft room for her.
Maybe. I mean, Tish does decorate all the kids' houses.
Right.
Yeah, so even though you don't get to see a lot of their personal life on this show, they were both guest editors for BravoTV.com last week. And so professional and so willing to kind of play ball. Tish sent us all of this exclusive content. She celebrated her 50th birthday recently, which I can't believe. She looks amazing.
No, when I watched that video, because we had spoken to her earlier that day, and then I watched this video where she's celebrating her 50th birthday, and I was like, what? That woman was 50?
Yeah.
Like, I did not think that she was 50 at all. Like, maybe 45. And maybe.
She spent the day at this Wingo Tango music festival because Miley was performing and Noah, and she's starting to manage Noah's career, and Noah may be the next Miley. So it was really cool to see, and she's just like a badass mom. And Brandy's awesome too.
Mm-hmm. They were on another level when we talked to them. Even their publicist was like, you guys, what is going on?
Right, like the coffee kicked in.
Yeah. So we want you guys to enjoy the Cyruses as well.
We are here with Tish and Brandy Cyrus.
Hi.
Hey guys.
How's it going?
Good.
So, Bravo seems like a natural fit for you guys. Do you watch any other Bravo shows?
I watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta because I think they're fabulous.
You know, I do watch it a lot. I don't have a lot of time for TV. But I'll tell you, when I start watching The Housewives
of
Atlanta, it is amazing. I get real sucked in.
They're so funny.
They are hilarious.
I love them so much.
But I have gotten into The New Housewives. Is it the Potomac?
Oh, yes.
I have started watching that, and I really love it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. You're so funny.
It's good.
Just wait. It's going to be crazy this weekend.
Wait.
Yes. I just watched it like an hour ago, so I'm like hot off the Potomac.
Oh,
so it seems a little more mellow than like in Atlanta for you guys, but what are the challenges of working together as mother and daughter?
Definitely more mellow than Housewives. But there's definitely challenges, just especially because of, you know, the circumstances we were in with time constraints and budget constraints and long hours and whatever. And that, I don't know, like, you know, it does cause some conflict and friction and stuff. And then, like, I don't know, like being with your mom, like it's easier to take it out on your mom than like so-and-so that's like working for you or whatever, you know what I mean? So it was definitely tough at times, but then at the same time, it almost makes it easier because it is, you know, it is your mom and you know how she is and what buttons not to push or what not to. So, and you know that at the end of the day, it's going to be fine. She's not going to hate your guts because you were a little cranky. So
kids are always like, ugh, mom. But like, is there anything that annoys you about your daughters?
Probably for sure.
I was just telling her, wait, what did I say earlier that annoyed me? The bougie coffee.
Oh, yeah. She hates I'm bougie about coffee.
Yeah. It's an so every bougie. Morning thing right out of the bat. I'm like,
not
let's get
more. I've given it up.
Yeah, she did give up coffee. So my biggest pet peeve about her went away. It's great.
I know.
So now she's perfect.
Yeah.
Although she is a Gemini and very stubborn.
You are so insane about that.
I'm serious.
You want to see stubborn? Tune into Cyrus versus Cyrus this Thursday. Tish Cyrus, president of the Stubborn Club.
She is on a roll today. Just so everybody out there knows, our publicist is laughing her butt off right now, silently.
This is like a sneak peek into what we'll see on the show, though.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the craziest design request you've ever gotten from someone?
We had one specific client that you'll see on the show. I don't know how much they'll show of it, but they were, you know, they were very strict about budget. We only have this much money. And so we worked so hard, right, to like, you know, really use the budget wisely and get spend only a lot on the things we needed to and whatever. And then they would come back to us and want to buy these outrageous, hideous things.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, first of all, what happened to we had no budget. And second of all, my mom would be like, those are idiots.
It's true. It'd be like we would need money for like construction
for
costs,
like actual
and like
things.
Major things. And then it's like, you want me to spend $1,000 on that? Are you out of your mind?
So that was pretty crazy.
And you know, you can't say those things. Yeah. You just have to smile and go, okay, we'll make that work. But yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm crafting a marble fireplace out of tile because they won't give me the budget to do a real one.
Yeah, there are some crazy things, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, so what's the craziest thing or design that you've, like, walked into and been like, what did I just find in this room? Or, like, what?
Clark.
What about the almost clients? Remember?
We had some good almost clients.
Oh, my gosh.
But one of our clients that was like, wow, this is weird, is we had to redo a house that actually is someone we've known for a very long time. But we walked in their house and there were, like, two kitchens.
Yeah.
And one of the smallest bathrooms I've ever seen in my life.
Different, that they were using as their master bathroom, the both of them, like this tiny,
and a different hardwood floor color in every single room.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, okay.
That's crazy.
And so that was a really fun challenge to work that out with all the hardwood colors and things like that and two kitchens. So it used to be a duplex that we turned into a single family home. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the weirdest thing.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar, it's a design question, of the Danish, like, new comfy trend. What do you guys think about it, and are you incorporating it into your designs now?
Like I love it.
I like it, too.
Okay.
I absolutely love.
And that's something that I feel like as a kid, my mom had rooms in the house we weren't allowed in because she wanted them to be perfect. And I feel like back then, like, for whatever reason, like, you were more about what it looked like.
Yes.
And I don't know, like, as the years go on, like, she gets more and more, like, all about the comfort.
100%.
And, you know, like, oh God, we spend hours mattress shopping. She lays on every single mattress.
I'm like, can you put this mattress on that base?
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
And now you're much better about it. So, and for me too, like, it's all about comfort. It's all about functionality for me. I have a dog that I care more about if she thinks the couch is comfy than myself and like all that. So I love the comfort trend, even taking it into fashion, like the sneakers and
me
jeans
too.
And t-shirts. Give it to me. I love
slides.
It. All about it.
And growing up, did you get a lot of say in your design of your room, or was that?
No, zero. Even up until, like, literally the house I just bought was the first time I've had full say about my house. Because when I went to college, you decorated my entire room, which I was all about because I didn't have to pay for it. And then my first apartment in L.A., she decorated the entire thing.
It
was amazing. And my roommates were so happy. There were four of us living in an apartment, and she decorated, like, the entire thing. They were like, wow. Man, your mom is awesome.
Yes. It was really cool.
But it was the cutest. Yeah, it was cute. You even did this, like, custom silver wall, and my room is nuts. So.
Oh, I forgot.
That was a great
wall.
That
was great.
Yeah.
But now it's all you now.
It's all me now. She does help. I text her. I'm like, Mom, which title?
But I do that with her, too, because it's so hard. I can decorate somebody else's house like that. But when it comes to your own, like, there's so many choices, and I kind of want a little bit of everything. So I make her, I make her pick a lot of my
She's
stuff.
She's like, this is good, right? Are you sure? I'm asking for the 10th time. This is great, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, Mother. It was great the first time. It's great the 10th time.
You guys do so much. So when you're putting on the interior designer hat, do you ever have clients that just kind of nerd out over the fact that you're part of the Cyrus family?
You know what? I really feel like we didn't for this first season. Like, everybody really, I don't know, they really, like, brought us in as designers and respected our opinions and our decisions and our choices. And I don't know. Like, I really feel like we didn't run into that at all, which was really great.
Yeah, I feel like it was really great that people didn't ask us about mm-hmm. that side of our lives, that it really was just we were their interior designers. Yep. And it was actually amazing.
Yeah. Well, we see both Miley and Billy Ray on the show this season. So that brings us to a question. Now, some people call it a Sophie's choice. We call it a Sophie Stanberry's choice. She's one of our ladies of London.
It's Sophie Stanberry here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
You can only listen to one song on loop. Is it Achy Breaky Heart?
No.
Or Wrecking Ball?
It's a little better.
Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, Wrecking Ball. Dad is going to be so sad that you did not pick Achy Breaky Heart.
Well, you know, I've had to listen to Achy Breaky since 1992.
I pick Achy Breaky because Wrecking Ball is sad.
Yeah.
And to hear it on a loop, I would be sad. So I pick Achy Breaky.
I actually like being really sad sometimes.
Oh, my God. Okay, next question.
Please. I do. Sometimes I like, do you always like to be sad? Like, when I get sad, I just want to watch
PS,
I Love You.
Next question.
The saddest movie of all time.
I know, and I will put it on repeat and just watch it.
Okay. Don't be concerned about her. She's fine.
I'm done. I'm going to go take my medicines when we leave.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
So Noah's actually the only one we don't see.
Oh, yes, season. You do.
We do?
Yeah, you get a good glimpse of Noah, for sure.
Oh, awesome. I was worried she was getting too famous for you guys.
Oh, no. She's on.
Oh, no. Her bougie self.
Yeah, she's on.
It's in Nashville.
Yeah.
No, she did. She, you know, a lot of that was that she missed my mom because she usually has her around all the time. And she came to visit and ended up coming on the show for a little bit and hanging out with us, which is really fun.
That's great.
Yeah, awesome. The very last episode, you know, our entire family's on and Noah did not get to make that. She was in Europe. It was so sad.
I was sad.
Because it was a really special moment. And the whole time we were all just like, it would have been perfect, but Noah wasn't here. So, but she does make
an
appearance.
A little cameo earlier on. So
you two were just at the Billboard Music Awards. Is that now just a normal family outing or is it still something that's exciting?
Kind of both, I think. Yeah. It's definitely fun. Like, we had a blast at Billboard, especially when it's all of us like that. Although we were missing the two boys. They didn't make it out. But it is fun when it's all of us because it almost does feel like we take over a little bit.
Right. It was so much fun having all of us there because it does almost seem like a normal family outing in a way because we're so silly and, you know, like dancing everybody. And this time was so much fun because Josh Dumas was there.
Oh, my gosh. He was sitting behind us. He was hilarious.
And he would not quit photobombing everything and just being like, I'm part of the Cyruses.
He's so silly.
And it made it so much fun.
No, it was fun.
It was a fun time, the Billboard Awards.
I think so. It's super fun.
Any celebrities that would make you nervous still?
The only celebrity that I've ever been really nervous and so, like, overwhelmed me with Kris Kristofferson.
Oh, yeah, you did get squirrely. She loves him.
He is everything in the world. And
I feel like I'd be a little squirrelier on Leo DiCaprio just because, like, for my generation, like, he's so iconic as an actor. He's insane.
So down to earth. Everyone, when I came out of our interview room, was like, how were they? What were they like? And I was like, so chill. Like, you would never know this family is, I don't know, that big. That famous. Thank you guys so much for coming in, Tish and Brandy. It was so much fun. You guys are a riot. So, Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
What a way to start the week with that episode.
Okay, so when I turned on this episode, I got so confused. I was like, did I miss an episode? How did I, like, skip a week and not know it? And it was because they started right in the middle of the most dramatic part of that episode. And so then when they showed the 5 days earlier, right, I was like, right. Oh, okay. But it was like a total mind trip for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, this fight. But before we get to that, we need to talk about
the other craziness.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot.
I want to talk about this boudoir shoot.
Right.
The last person, if you were to ask me, who on Potomac do you think is going to have a boudoir shoot this week? It would not have been Karen Huger.
Right.
Which I think is reflected in her very demure boudoir shoot.
Yeah, like she doesn't want to show anything.
No.
Because as she says, I'm a mother, but it's like, that's the whole point.
Right, you're showing some stuff. And Giselle's like trying to get her to do some poses, and she's like, well, you're going to be single forever if you do that. Like that. I'm like, oh, dang.
We've had so many boudoir shoots in our Bravo history.
Yes. I mean, my favorite is MJ's.
Oh, yes. From Shaw's. She gave a great one. Even though we didn't get to see it in action, Yolanda presenting David with a book of her naked photos.
For your eyes only.
Yes. Kim, of course, has done one. She, like, had...
Kim Zolciak-Bierman?
Yes. The one and only. She had Croy's jersey painted on her naked body.
And is that the number one Bravo boudoir shoot?
I mean, the most dedication, maybe? Right.
Yes, yes. When you're painting a jersey t-shirt onto your body to show your love. Is there a better way?
Yeah.
To show your dedication to your husband? Oh, and then there was Vanderpump, Sheena, and Stassi.
Oh, right.
Stassi's.
Sheena's made a little more sense than Stassi's. Like, Sheena's doing it for her husband. I guess Stassi's just trying to feel...
better?
Sexy again?
Which, by the way, update on Stassi Schroeder. Back together with Patrick, according to her Instagram.
Which, so, does that mean we're going to see him this season?
Is the doors finally open? Is Patrick going to come on?
Is he going to confront Jax?
Oh my God, I would love this. I hope this all happens. I'm surprised that he's back, because that's the whole reason she left the show, was because of Patrick.
Right.
Like, she said that now.
Right, so I guess really the question is, will she go back to being closed off Stassi, who doesn't want a lot to do with the rest of the group, or is she kind of bringing him...
Is he going to join the servers?
She bringing him to the dark side.
Yeah, who knows? Or is it really just a big fuck you to Lala? To be like, oh yeah, you're not going to bring your boyfriend on and you're citing me? I'm going to bring my boyfriend on now.
What now, Lala?
What now, Lala?
Your move.
You know.
You know, I know we're talking about sexy time right now. But if we could switch to talking about a sweet moment,
yes.
It would definitely be Monique and her husband singing their children to sleep in separate rooms. And, like, singing the same song.
I know. And, like, Chris Samuels is such a giant man.
Right.
He's, like, a professional football player. And this tiny little, like, 11-month-old baby girl, like, just singing, cradling her in his arms. It was, like, the sweetest moment. I wanted to die.
I know. I was like, what is this moisture in my eyes? Like, what is happening?
I asked her at her blog this week. I was like... how do you deal with that? Because my heart would explode every day from the adorableness.
Oh, so sweet.
But I also, like, then they had the barbecue, and then they went outside to, like, have a glass of wine, and he was like, I mean, I like the kids and all, but we needed a break. I was like, oh, but it was so cute. But,
in another Potomac marriage.
It's a little rocky.
Things are not great between Ashley and Michael.
To put it mildly.
Mildly. So, we rarely get to see this, but he did the infamous camera.
No.
Yeah, no cameras.
No cameras. He pulled a Northwest.
Yeah.
Really is what he
said. No cameras.
No cameras.
I said no cameras.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened. If he just had a little fur on, it would have been perfect.
I was in shock watching. I just... Not in shock that it's happening, but just... You rarely get to see...
Like, see it.
there have been few instances in our Housewives history where we've gotten, like, into that raw of a fight.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I don't even – I really appreciated what she had to say in terms of realizing, well, this isn't good. My husband really does have, like, control over me. And right. now how am I going to kind of deal with that?
But I really liked the whole time, too, like, he would – she just, like, wasn't having anything that he was saying.
Oh, my God, the part where she was like,
you want to be a bully? Come on in here. I'm ready for you, boo. Come on.
Yeah. And I loved that, like, just even if it had just been that phone call, it would have been a lot.
Yeah.
And then he pulls, and I just love that she calls him out on everything. Like, why are you here if you don't want to be here? Then don't come.
Right.
Like, then shut it down. If you're going to shut it down, then really shut it down. If you really want to do this, then do it. But I'm not going to sit here and let you, like, hold it over me and threaten me.
Right.
Like, that's not what it is, and that's not how I'm going to be.
Yeah. I mean, for being so young, she really does have a lot of confidence, which yes. I appreciate.
And she was not going to let him just make blanket decisions over things.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, also, I, as far as, like, this might be a crazy opinion, the restaurant goes... Yeah, maybe taking a step back and being like, people aren't eating emu. What can we do to shift it slightly but still have the Australian theme? I don't think she's crazy for saying that.
No, I mean, if that's legitimate feedback they're getting, they should act on it.
Right, so his resistance to changing anything
yeah.
is strange to me.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that then becomes, is it really about the control thing?
Yeah. And totally.
At the end, when she says that ultimatum in interview.
If he's going to fall into a pattern of disrespecting me that way, I will not stay in the relationship.
I just want to know what the other ladies' reactions are to watching this episode.
Oh, well, I got Giselle's blog, and she, like, because I asked a lot of them, like, did you have any idea that day that they had just had this huge fight? And she was like, I had no idea. My eyes popped out of my head. Like, obviously we knew they had issues, but, like, watching it now is insane.
Right.
Because it just is. It's so raw. At the moment when he's, like, cutting something up and she goes over to, like, thank him, and then he starts it up again, and then the customers come in, and then they, like, shift. It was just like, oh, man.
Not good.
No. So I'm really curious to see what happens next. I'm curious to see what's going to happen at the reunion.
Right. Have you seen previews for next episode?
Yes. It's actually really intense. So there's a preview on BravoTV.com right now, and it's Michael and Ashley going to make clay pots, like Ghost. That's
right.
Like the next step for their marriage, I guess, is to just go see if Ghost works out for them. But during this Ghost moment, she turns to him and she goes,
I know that we love each other, but do you feel like we're still in love?
And then the clip ended. And I was like, ah! It makes me so sad for her. Because even when Charisse was in, and you can listen to that interview last week, she says, it's just so crazy to see it because that first season, they were so in love. It was palpable. Like, you could feel it when you were around them. They
right.
just loved each other so much. And now to see where they are is, like, really heartbreaking.
Hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, business and pleasure.
Yeah. Well, different, but also similar. Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah. I mean, different but similar because it's marriage is the theme this week.
Right.
Even in invite-only combo.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there later.
So we're in the Berkshires, and it's the whole we have to tell Luann to get out of your marriage plot is happening. And I thought almost last week when Dorinda did it, the other girls were just going to, like, Dorinda do it.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the plan.
That was the plan.
Wasn't it? And apparently that wasn't good enough.
Well, I guess Luann kind of started it because
I mean, naturally, I think that when you hear everyone's talking, yeah, you want to be like, I'm going to address this.
Rightfully so, but then it's like they all start slinking in one by one.
Right.
Okay, what would you do if you were Luann's friend and you knew all this information? Would you tell her?
I mean...
knowing that you had already told her
right.
6 months ago.
I was going to say, I think that if I had never said anything and I really in my heart felt like she was making a mistake and I really believed these rumors, I would have to say something. But the fact that I've already told her something like this had happened, she didn't care. We know Ramona has brought it up again recently. I'm acting as, like, if I'm also a friend there, I'm not one of them. If I knew, like, another one of my friends had also brought it up to her. At a certain point, you're not going to change your mind. And my dad always told me this, which is so true, that even when someone breaks up with someone, never talk badly about them.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because 9 out of 10 times, they'll get back together, and now you're the asshole that doesn't like their significant other.
That's why it's hard when any friend, even still in a relationship, is having serious issues with their significant other, because you cannot advise one way or the other.
Right,
because
either way, you're going to be in the sh-.
Right.
So, what would I do? I don't think I would say anything at this point. It would just kind of be like, you're making your bed, you're going to lie in it. But I also think that, like, for Bethany and Carol, they haven't done, except for when Bethany did that, obviously, in Miami, their due diligence yet. Whereas, like, I think Ramona has. Like, you have put in a lot of miles now on trying to get Luann to see the truth. You've got to let it go.
I know. I almost wish they had pulled the Vanderpump Rules like they did with Miami Girl and flown someone into the Berkshires to be like,
and this is my friend who texted me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, why didn't they need a Kristen? That's what they need.
They need a Kristen Doty.
I don't know. It's tough. But I will say the seriousness, we said this last week, but again, is really felt with Ramona when she said, I've been through this too, and I was the last to know.
Right.
Because I don't want you to be like everyone knew that my ex was having an affair. I was the last person to know, and it was terrible. And I don't want you to get married and walk down that aisle and find out 6 months ago that, because it's only going to get worse, Luann. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. So it is what it is, and I'm not going to say anything more. I'm going to shut my mouth now.
Like, she wasn't just trying to be a meddler. She was... legitimately concerned, it seemed.
Yes, and I think because she brought it up and reflected on her own marriage, which she never really does, and even at the season 7 or 6, whenever all of that was going on, reunion happened, Andy was asking questions around it, and she was like, shut it down, I don't want to talk about
it.
Right. Andy.
Not asking you about what's going on in your relationship. I want to know if your friends have been supportive of you during this time.
There is no, you know what? I'm not talking about this anymore. It's
We've
a personal
been very
matter.
Supportive.
I want this closed down. Okay? Stop it, Andy.
I'm asking you about your friends. I'm not asking you what's going on in your home.
I don't want to talk about anything.
So the fact that she's bringing it up right now, I think, is like she means business.
Right.
She's not just being the singer stinger.
Yeah, and I mean, same with Bethany. That really came out of left field. You know, like, we don't get to see anything that's actually happening with Bethany and her ex-husband.
Only that Brynn has too many clothes.
Right. I don't know if you felt this way, but don't you feel she was sort of insinuating? Well, no, I think she did say it, like, I wish someone had come to me 2 weeks before.
And it was a last-ditch effort in case for some reason you weren't 100% sure we were being there for you, saying, okay, we'll pull you out. If you want to get pulled out, we'll pull you out. At the last minute, I wish someone pulled me out. I love my daughter, and I know that, but I wish someone pulled me out.
Because she said, I went with my heart, I went with my gut, that wasn't the right thing to do. Use your brain, be smart.
Well, what did you think of the moment when Luann was like, and that's fine that you went with your gut. You have your child now. You wouldn't be where you are without all of that happening. So, like, I'm taking the next step, and we'll see what happens after that.
Right. It was crazy.
And to just kind of be like, you can't be afraid of life, essentially, is what I think Luann was trying to say. Like, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen no matter what. So I'm not going to shy away from it when this is something that I really want right now.
Yeah.
It was very much like live in the moment versus, like, looking 5 years from now.
But I have to say, as a fan of Roni from the beginning, as a fan of Bethany getting married, as a fan of Bethany Ever After, I'm like, as a fan, very frustrated right now because I don't know what's happening.
Right.
And it's like, we got to see so much of Bethany's marriage, and now we're hearing about the fallout, but, like, I need those steps filled in for me.
Right. But when she's crying in that room and then comes out and then And Luann's honestly, like, I had no idea it was this bad.
None of them did.
Right, because Carol's in the other room, spilling all the tea, by the way, that her ex is calling her by her mother's name.
Right.
Just hurtful things.
Her ex-husband, he harasses her. And he's harassed Dennis. He sends these emails that are so nasty.
Terrible.
She thought it would get better, and it's just gotten worse. He calls, he says, you're a terrible mother. And, like, you know, he calls her Bernadette.
That's
like,
disgusting.
I've seen it.
What's Bernadette? Who's Bernadette?
The
her
mother.
Mother's name. It's weird.
Like, we all knew that the divorce was happening and she was homeless and it was all terrible, homeless in quotations, but to this level we didn't know.
Right.
So that was a big bomb for me.
Right. Ugh. And yet still after all that, the episode is not over.
No.
I also love that Carol describes Ramona as schmaltzy. I've never heard that word, but
I think... You've never heard schmaltzy?
No, but I think I want to say it all the time now.
I feel like now you're going to call me schmaltzy a lot.
Because it just means like
schmaltzy.
So like sentimental?
It's like over... It's not oversweet, but like a lot, right? Like it's schmaltzy. It's like kind of like...
Schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy.
But that wasn't the word of this episode.
Oh, no, no, no.
The drinking word of this episode, well, it was a phrase, I guess, was jealous bitches.
Jealous bitches, which I always think of the first Cab Burlesque when she goes, you know those jealous bitches.
Yeah, Sonia said it a lot. Luann said it a lot. Jealous bitches.
Yeah. And our fans will now be called jealous bitches.
So, unclear why Ramona was being so schmaltzy, but Bethany decides that they should have their sit down. All right, so it goes into Bethany being like, you were never a good friend. And then we have Ramona saying,
I'm totally confused and baffled. And she's like, why are you looking at me like that? Because I don't know what the heck you're talking about, bitch.
And then she had that look on her face, which Bethany noticed. And then Ramona said,
I have not been a good friend to you. Wow. Wow, Bethany.
Okay.
Wow, are you f***ing kidding me, Bethany? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I have not been a good friend to you.
So all this is happening, and then, oh, you want to go there? And then it was like,
to be continued.
And all I could think of to describe my reaction was that episode of Friends when Monica and Rachel are playing against Chandler and Joey in a fight for, like, who's going to get the bigger apartment. And so they're doing the quiz game, and time runs out, and Monica...
10 seconds, you need this or you lose the game.
It's, it has something to do with trans funding. Oh, get this! I can get this!
Oh my
God. So yeah, to be continued. Not happy, Roni producers. Not happy.
Ryan Flynn. So you mentioned that you are watching season 3 again. I'm wondering what Ramona is going to say, because I have a feeling it's, I was there through all your endometriosis and all, or your fibroids and all of that. But before that, I'm having a hard time remembering the Ramona Bethany best friend trip.
Okay, so what it was is Scary Island really bonded together Bethany, Alex, and Ramona, because Jill had turned her back on Bethany at this point, and they were taking Bethany in because her father was dying. So she was just in a super vulnerable place, and it was kind of like, no more time for fighting. Like, we just need to be
protective.
Yeah. So I think her father did die right before she went on the Scary Island trip. Kelly was being...
Golden Satchels.
Exactly. So they sort of banded together, and they were just being really sweet to Bethany and, like, taking care of her is the only way I can think of to say it. And Bethany kept saying, like, how appreciative she was. And at that season 3 reunion, she really went on and on about, these were the guys that were there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was going through the worst time of my life. They were there
for
me.
Not you, Jill.
Right. And they were the ones that she had come on her show, Bethany Getting Married.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's kind of a, yeah.
I remember this.
So.
I also, the only thing I can think of every time you say Bethany getting married is her peeing in that bucket.
Oh, of course.
Just shout out to that moment in Bravo history.
But so how does Bethany view it now? I don't know, because every time she and Ramona have gotten close.
That's Singer Stinger.
Singer Stinger.
All I could think of during that scene was when Bethany first came back, when she had that huge blow up with Ramona in the Hamptons.
Right.
At the party where Sonia brings beer in her purse.
Because I think that people, it's like when you have certain expectations for someone and you always remember someone better than they actually are. So she's remembering the fun side of Ramona, turtle time Ramona. But then when Ramona says some of the things she says, it's like, oh, ouch. Like, what?
And I do think that at that time, her father dying was terrible. But the level of stress she is under now, she's like, I do not have time for the negative side.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, obviously at that time it was very stressful too, and she was going through a lot, but I don't think it even compares to what she's under now.
Yeah. And I don't think a history with someone should determine the future. Like,
no, absolutely not.
If it's not working, let it go. Should we take a vacation from the seriousness?
Yes, please.
Let's go to a little place called Cabo.
What is the theme song? So I was pretty close. Invite only Cabo. We mentioned marriage was a theme this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, does it come out with Larry and Bianca. Bianca. I don't know if you've ever seen Kiss Me, Kate. But that's a song.
Oh.
Anyway, Bianca and Larry.
What is happening?
I don't know, but I am with the guys who were like, Larry, you can't call somebody babe. You can't hold their hand. You can't be like sneaking off and talking to them and not pretend like there's not something going on.
Does anyone else out there play the drinking game of drinking every time one of them says babe? It's too much.
It is too much.
Yeah, my only thoughts on that whole thing about should we get married is like, one of you's crazy, but I need to know who it is.
Right.
Because you guys have two totally different views of what this relationship is.
And at first, I was like, Bianca, you just got in this fight with him. You just gave your number to, like, another guy. And now you're asking him about getting married? How did this even come up? You sound insane. But then, the more that they were talking about it, he didn't really think it was that crazy in the pool. And then you find out they had one of those Murphy Brown packs where by the time I'm 45, if you were not together.
Right.
Then we should get together. That makes me think it's less weird.
But who actually follows through with those packs?
Maybe Bianca and Larry.
I'm not saying they shouldn't, but my God, they haven't even slept together yet.
Right. And I find it really odd the way that he talks to her like, I'll always love you or I love you. Like, so deeply, but then be together.
I don't know.
I don't know either. They talk about it very, formally. Like, I know we would have a good life together.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I know that we would have fun and we bring good things to each other. So all the romance is gone.
Right.
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
Bianca,
like,
you deserve romance.
Hold out for, like, someone who's chasing you.
Yeah, Larry, you deserve romance. Next week, though, Larry's gumming up the works again. Maybe buying her a ring?
Yeah, no, I know. Either way, I feel like either way, this is going to be a disaster. Either he's bought her a ring and he's going to propose, or he's presenting her with what looks like a ring box and inside is like earrings.
Right. Either way, it's just
cruel. It's not going to be good. Yeah.
Good. But there's other relationships. Issues in Cabo. Agu and Kamani.
Right. Okay, so you know how when we first talked about the premiere of this show, we talked about how Emily has so much confidence and like, wow, if we could even have just like a teaspoon of that confidence. Kamani makes her look straight up humble. Kamani is like
I mean, she referred to herself as, I think, a BMW and then called Emily a Pinto.
I'm interested in hearing what Agu has to say, but he knows he needs to bring it because I'm a Bentley and Emily is a beat up Pinto. And then we know they don't even make Pintos anymore. You feel me?
Right. That's just mean.
But you don't say that if you aren't very convinced that you're a BMW.
Right, and like the part where she was like, I'm giving him sides and...
Oh my God, she was like, I'm not wearing any underwear, I'm not wearing a bra, and I'm giving you all of this, and being like, yeah, this is what you could have had, but you don't.
I have no sides on my dress. He gonna see today what it is. I'm a flaunt it, no sides, no undies, no bra. Thanks. You remember now?
I was like, oh my God, at no point do I ever think like that.
But do you think maybe we just have abnormally low self-esteem?
Probably. Come on, he's just a normal, everyday girl.
And we're like, we would be so lucky.
But I will say I loved her in this lunch with Agu because she, like, knows who she is, knows what she wants, and is like... every time he, like, tries to qualify hooking up with Emily, she's like, your drunk isn't going to work.
But it rubbed me the wrong way because I'm like, you're not together. You know, like, she's punishing this guy that there's... You're allowed to do whatever you want to do until you're in a committed relationship.
That's true, but you're not going to, like, ask me about my kids the night before and then hook up with this other girl and then be like, oh, wait, but you too.
Right.
And, like, I very much clearly put it out there that I'm not around to just hook up with people.
It was just like when she goes, no, you're in the doghouse. I was like, he was never in your bed. Like, that
he was never even in the house.
Yeah.
But, fun fact, is he in the house now, currently? Because we talked about Goo this week, and he gave us some insight into their relationship now. But we're airing that interview next week, so subscribe to get all the Agu tea. Ugh, and then this accident.
Yeah.
Glamis all over again is all I could think of.
I mean, that's one way to end the, like, tension in terms
right.
of, like, between her and Emily.
Emily and Agu,
and
yeah.
And Bianca, because who can be mean to her now?
No one.
It was very glamorous.
It was very glamorous. And then I kept thinking, like, they better make her a casserole. Because that's all Vicky wanted. Like, somebody better get that casserole made. I wasn't sure how hurt she was. And then she let out this sound. Oh my God, she must be really hurt because that sounds
terrible.
Horrible.
Well, and just like how Emily and Jermaine were like crying basically watching her.
And when they were kind of like, we're in another country, so we don't even know what's going on. Like, we don't speak Spanish. We have no idea what they're saying to each other or how serious it is.
Yeah.
God, it just seemed so stressful. And then when they were like, and her kids, and then an interview in Malacca, like, couldn't even talk about it. I just was like, what is happening? And then.
No.
To be continued again.
Story of our lives to be continued.
Bravo. But yeah, so we'll see. Maybe there's going to be a proposal. I don't know. But before we leave you, we mentioned we talked to Frederick and Ryan.
Both insanely tall.
Right. We're very used to talking to women on this show.
Right.
And so when they came in, we were like, whoa.
Because, I mean, even by man standards, they're very tall.
Very tall people. We are here with MDL New York Sharks, Ryan and Frederick.
Hi.
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 Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
What noises do sharks make?
Oh. Rawr. Yeah.
No, it's like lion. It's like an underwater, like.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good. I like this hissing. Yeah. So 6 seasons. How is the show different now than when you first started?
We're different.
We are different. The third guy keeps changing. I don't know what happens. lucky number three. We keep scaring him away. Apparently,
the third guy is like cursed.
Yeah. Oh. We're on to lucky number three of the third guy.
Yep.
Maybe we're different. We're both married now. Our businesses are both bigger and better and crazier. And New York is different. I mean, I think if you looked at a photo of New York City from 2010 when we started to now, you know, it keeps changing with us, which in part is what pushes us to change and pushes us to grow. We're not in the same city that we were 7 years ago.
Right. No, not at all. I moved here around 6 years ago, and it's crazy how much has changed.
Everything. And in 7 years from now, Million Dollar Listing 12, it'll be we'll be in like the Hudson Yards sculpture doing this whole thing. We'll be like, hey, remember when this was trains? It's going to be crazy.
We'll hopefully have drivers still, but it might be like driverless cars just like flying around the city. Seven years.
That would be the best.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, when was the last time you took the subway?
Like 10 years ago.
Really?
I took it. I never take the subway. I took it like a month ago just because traffic was so bad and right. I was so late and I was on my way to an appointment where if I was late, they would kill me because I'm always late with traffic and everything. So I just got out of the car and went into the subway, had to buy the little card thing and get in there. And
then did you remember why you don't take the subway anymore?
Well, yeah. No, I know why I don't take it. I don't take the subway.
And you took the express and you end up in Brooklyn.
Right. No, I don't take the subway because I don't like it. It's because it enables me to work consistently by being in the car. Mm-hmm. Right. So I never stop working. If I go on the subway, I got to figure it out. I come out and you lose service. You don't lose service. But what I found out, I went in there and everyone's on their phones. I was like, there's service in these trains now?
Yeah, it just started this year.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Crazy. There's like a dude on his phone. And so it's like being on an airplane. It's not.
I feel very claustrophobic. I mean, Ryan had this huge, amazing party and it was like thousands of people last night. And I almost got a panic attack because there's a lot of people. So subways to me, because there's a little cramped sometimes. So I'm sorry if I sound like snob or anything, but it's just, I honestly get a little bit anxiety because it's like small spaces with a lot of people. That's just me.
And sometimes those people are just being real crazy. So yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You guys have a track record of sometimes clashing with the third guy. Mm. Do we see that happen with Steve?
Yes. Well, he's like, well, first of all, like coming into a show like this, he has to sort of prove to the world and to himself and to us that he's his own, you know, good real estate agent and that he has his own persona and all that. So he's obviously, for natural reasons, going to like, grab this. So it's a little bit of that. But then I think just as a person, he is just used to maybe get what he wants, as we are. So there's been some stuff this season where, especially, I don't know about YouTube, me and him, we had a really big, big, big fight in towards the end. I actually started crying because he was really, really nasty. But then it's fine because here we are and, you know, it's good, whatever. And I forgive him or he forgave me. But, you know, you'll see. Yes. It's a lot of that.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. Don't know what to say to that. So we've known Steve for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think we even, back when Michael left after season one, he was one of the people that we said, hey, why don't you talk to him? Mm. And I don't think he wanted to do it or he just wasn't ready. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, this is not – it's not – I know it looks great, but it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work. It's – you got to learn how to manage your time doing, you know, business as well. We both have our phones sitting here in between our legs.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever, like, filmed for a whole day, like, let's say 12 hours and worked and it's been cold, you know, and you're managing your business, you're juggling, and then you've come home – and then this is what I do. Don't laugh at me. Actually, you can't laugh at me. I don't care. I sit in my tub and I fill it up with warm water and I sink down in the tub and I'm like, But what I'm feeling in the tub sitting there after that whole day is like, I freaking gave it all. Like, I gave the show all. I gave the city all. I gave my business all. Like, I couldn't, and that's why I feel good because I couldn't have done one more thing. I think you're the same. We worked so hard for this thing and this show.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, you know. You want to. I mean, I think we do, not to pat ourselves on the back and not to sound like terrible people, but we work so hard and do so much in one day between the filming and the appointments and the meetings and the showings and the deals and all of that. But by the time I get home at 9, 10 p.m., it's like we do more in a day than some people will do in a week or two in terms of, you know, how productive we try to be. But that's what keeps us better and keeps us growing, keeps us competitive, because every day's got to be better than the last. Mm-hmm. But it is that kind of like, is that healthy, you know? So sometimes I guess you do have to strip down and sit in a tub and soak. I don't know. I don't do that. I'll try it maybe tonight, after tonight with the show. After we watch the show, I'm going to sit in a tub and think about my life.
Well, speaking of your busy schedules, both of you have new shows coming out on Bravo.
Yes.
Can you both tell us? You're like, yeah, naturally.
No, because we've been interviewed so much. So I'm getting very curious. I want to hear more about his show, yeah. And he's been hearing about mine. So it's getting really
interesting.
What's
the title of yours?
I think it's still, you know, floating
the
around.
Project.
No, Keeping It Real Estate. Are they going to keep that? You guys probably know more than I. It's still in the beginning stages. These things could change 1,000 times, but we do have shows. Yes, we both do.
Keeping It Real Estate.
Do you like that name?
I think that's a good name because the only one I had heard before was the Property Project or
Frederick
and Bethany's Property.
For
full disclosure, because this is Bravo, so it's mm-hmm. like anything you will. Wanted what Bethany had came up with very early on, which was Flip a Bitch. It was so freaking good. And like I said, we can use bitch like with a dollar sign, like in the.
That's so
because she's a bitch. I'm a bitch. We're gonna flip the bitch out of these properties,
right.
And then anyway, it couldn't be used. So, but Keeping It Real Estate is good because it is a lot of personal stuff. The real estate is there; it's like a backdrop, and we are investing millions of dollars of our own money into these properties. But it's very real in the sense that it's her life, it's my life. It's a lot of that, and then our friendship, because I love her, and she loves me, and we fight, and she's so freaking annoying. She's a freak. I mean, but she's a genius. I mean, she's all of those things. I mean, you know her, so, yeah.
So, Ryan, tell us about your new show.
But Sell It Like Sirhan is a sales show that has nothing to do with real estate other than the fact that I'm a real estate broker in New York. And I'm, you know, I've always liked those shows like The Prophet and Tabitha. Mm-hmm. But I also liked that show Dirty Jobs. I know that's not a Bravo show. Remember that show on Discovery
with Mike
Rowe?
Yeah, we go into the different, yeah.
Yeah, it was this guy totally fish out of the water, like going into, like learning about, you know, septic systems and all these crazy things. I was like, I wonder if, you know, we could make it really, really personal and do like a mixture of those. And I looked at what I do with my team and creating, you know, taking these small real estate agents and making them into big real estate agents and everything that I've learned about sales and selling crazy real estate in New York City and take all of those tips and tricks that I've kind of put into my little sales toolbox and take individual salespeople, so not businesses, so not like The Prophet or Tabitha or Bar Rescue or any of those, but make it a very, very personal story with helping individual salespeople sell better and then become better, more confident, happier people. And we did the first episode in a golf store and it was awesome. It was incredibly like rewarding and fulfilling for me too, because when working with people you don't know and hearing about their life stories and everything they're going through and that's, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and just being able to try to help them and to learn about them and their job is like, it's very intense. So the show will be, very funny, but also very intense.
Thank you, Frederick, and thank you, Ryan, so much for coming on the show. We can't wait to watch the rest of the season.
Yes. Well, we talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As always, we want all of you guys listening to tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. We check obsessively. We like your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching these shows with you.
Yes. Join us on this journey.
As always, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
With me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss